the power. Patti Smith, Bruce Springsteen, Michael Stipe on stage at Democracy Now!'s 30th anniversary celebration in a rare joint performance, along with the Nationals' Aaron Dessner, Alinda Segarra and Hooray for the Riff Raff, and Patti Smith's bandmates, Tony Shanahan and Jesse Paris Smith. Visit democracynow.org to watch our full anniversary event, including Bruce Springsteen's surprise performance of Streets of Minneapolis. On Saturday, Bruce will perform at the No Kings Rally in St. Paul, Minnesota, along with Joan Baez. She'll be there with Jane Fonda and others. We'll be broadcasting more of our event in the coming days. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Earth Day is around the corner. Celebrate with KBOO at our Earth Day tree planting open house, April 22nd, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Mingle with other Earth-conscious radio heads, enjoy snacks and drinks, and become a part of KBOO's roots. That's April 22nd, 11 a.m. at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, for KBOO's Earth Day Tree Planting Open House.
Support for KBOO comes from our members and from Energy Trust of Oregon, empowering businesses throughout the region with energy-efficient solutions that can help to improve the comfort, safety, and productivity of businesses. More info at energytrust.org. Energy Trust of Oregon.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, the new Trailblazer owner, Tom Dundon, is under scrutiny of the Oregon Department of Justice again.
Fireballs lit up the morning sky earlier in the week.
And Chinook salmon spawns in the Upper Klamath Basin for the first time in over a century.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, March 25th, 2026. I'm Uchenna Nwezor.
And I'm Terrence Burns. As the clock ticks down towards the final sale of the Portland Trailblazers, new owner Tom Dundon faced increased scrutiny for predatory and harmful lending practices in Oregon. The Oregon Justice Department is involved in a multi-state investigation of Exter Finance. Dundon is both an investor and also chairman of the board of that company. In 2020, Dundon, the former CEO of Santander Consumer USA, settled with Oregon and in 33 other states in an investigation that alleged the company conducted predatory lending practices. The financial settlement to the 34 states, including Oregon, was $550 million. At the time, Dundon and Santander Consumer admitted no guilt for their role in putting low-income borrowers in jeopardy of foreclosure on subprime auto loans they couldn't afford. Dundon and other company officers pushed to waive proof of income as a condition for getting a loan. Former Federal Reserve officer Mark Williams told OPB, quote, "Banks rely on the income of borrowers to make that repayment. So say, sure, I'll give you a loan, and we don't even care if you make income or not, or you don't even have to state your income. That's just counter to sound banking practices," end quote. Dundon's deal to buy the Trailblazers is expected to close on March 31st. Dundon has declined to comment on his investment firm until the sale closes. As the Oregon legislature's short session ended a few weeks ago, a bill to keep the Blazers in Portland, SB 1501, passed. That bill allocates $870 million in public money to fund renovation of the Blazers' current home, the Moda Center. Currently, the Blazers have asked for just $600 million to fund renovations, but city and state officials believe the costs will climb. Trailblazer leaders have lobbied state and local officials hard, but saying the future of the team staying in Portland depends on this money. Blazer officials imply that if the team walks, the departure threatens the city's national and international reputation and would perpetuate the doom loop narrative that city officials have tried to refute.
Chinook salmon are spawning naturally in the Upper Klamath River for the first time in 100 years. The Klamath Tribe's Ambedat Department, or Fisheries Department, found the Chinook salmon on March 18th. It's a major milestone in the recovery of the Upper Klamath Basin since the removal of the Klamath River dams. It was last year when the first adult Chinook salmon were found in the Williamson River. For over a century, these salmon were blocked from their traditional spawning grounds. Chinook salmon are a keystone species, critical to the habitat and all the species that inhabit it. The fish are also a traditional part of the diet for regional tribes, and losing that food source has had a major impact in the last 100 years. The tribes say the spawning fish are a meaningful step forward for reestablishing the salmon populations in the Upper Klamath Basin. These dams were removed in 2024 in a state and tribal partnership, the largest dam removal in U.S. history.
Credit card debt in Oregon has increased substantially over the past 3 years, with balances rising by more than 25% since the pandemic. Oregonians now carry an average of $6,200 in credit card debt at an interest rate topping 22% or more. Consumer advocates say lawmakers have failed to act to lower rates. Mark Richardson has more on the story.
Consumer advocates say price increases and high interest rates have many Americans, including Oregonians, drowning in debt, and lawmakers have failed to protect them. A new analysis of credit card holders finds that 40% of U.S. adults can't pay off their credit card balances monthly, with interest rates nearly double that of a decade ago. Jennifer Zhang, a data analyst for the nonprofit Protect Borrowers, says the cost of borrowing just keeps rising.
Americans owe more credit card debt than at any point in history, and they are facing sky-high interest rates, which are nearly double the rates charged just a decade ago. They're over 22% today.
In Oregon, average credit card balances are more than $6,200 per household, which is slightly below the national average, reflects a 25% increase since 2021. Zhang blames a large part of the problem on the so-called Trump economy, with high tariffs on imported goods and steep increases in the cost of gasoline and other sources of energy. Zhang says that increase is mostly due to the cost of living increases. She says the Trump administration once proposed lower interest rates, but instead made deep cuts to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
A little over 2 months ago, the president promised to cap credit card interest rates at 10% by January 20th, and we've seen that that date has come and gone, and there has been no real plan to make that promise a reality.
She says each day without an interest rate cap costs Americans an estimated $368 million in additional interest. Zhang says the poor economy is often a compounding factor when cardholders fall behind.
Oftentimes when people are late on a credit card, it's because something else has gone catastrophically wrong. If they lost a job, if they had a large medical bill or some other surprise expense, all of those costs can really rapidly pile up and the interest only makes it substantially worse.
For Oregon News Service, I'm Mark Richardson.
Bright green fireballs were spotted over the skies of the Rose City earlier in the week. Portlanders reported that the bright green fireballs around 6:06 Monday morning. Jim Todd of the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry says, quote, "Meteors, also known as shooting stars, are small celestial objects that enter the Earth's atmosphere. A fireball is a particularly bright meteor that can be seen from a distance of about 60 to 80 miles above. As a meteor travels through the atmosphere at high speeds, it creates friction, which heats the meteor and causes it to vaporize," end quote. According to the American Meteor Society, people from Portland to as far away as Snohomish, Washington, north of Seattle, reported the meteors.
Washington State faces a shortage of child care providers, which cuts opportunities short for working parents. In response, one nonprofit is using their apprenticeship model to create their own child care center, where women can earn a certificate while they earn a living. Isabel Charlet has more on the story.
A Washington nonprofit is addressing the need for childcare and on-the-job training at the same time by using an apprenticeship model that combines paid work and certification. The Machinists Institute is a nonprofit created by the International Association of Machinists that runs apprenticeship programs related to aerospace and manufacturing industries. Shana Peshek of the Institute says many apprentices, especially women, have not been able to continue their program because of a lack of childcare that could accommodate the extended schedule. So in order to meet that need, the Institute is opening its own child care center.
It will be available to the entire community, not just IAM members, with the main purpose of being open during non-standard hours, to have a represented staff, and to have apprenticeship as a pathway for those teachers and assistant teachers at the child care center.
Peshek says the new center will operate from 4 a.m. to nearly midnight, far longer than typical centers, and will enable more parents to stay in the program. Peshek adds the teachers at the center will also be under an apprenticeship model of 80% paid on-the-job training and 20% classroom time, ending with a certificate. Peshek says Washington has one of the highest shortages of child care in the country, with over 140,000 children lacking access to the care they need. She says the apprenticeship model helps build a pipeline of skilled staff that's ready and willing to provide quality care.
Instead of just going straight to college and taking those classes, they can earn the certificates and the degrees while they're working and not have to pay those high tuition costs.
Though addressing the lack of childcare during non-standard hours is necessary, Peshek says it is complicated and expensive to start. Building off this experience, she says the Machinists Institute is working with the Imagine Institute to use this model as a blueprint for mentoring other programs. Support for this reporting was provided by Lumina Foundation. I'm Isabel Charlet, Washington News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
House Republicans push back against breaking up DHS funding as Senate Republicans continue to push for the SAVE Act. A large minority of Americans support Christian nationalism, a survey has found. With that story and more, it's Simone Perez with 2026 Talks.
Welcome to 2026 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Where we disagree, let's at least just do status quo funding on things like ICE to ensure that our folks are getting paid, not only in ICE, but cybersecurity, the Coast Guard, the entire Department of Homeland Security. Funding the whole darn thing is the right way to move forward.
New York Republican Congressman Nick LaLota tells CBS he's against separating the budget for immigration enforcement from that of FEMA and TSA. The budget for the Department of Homeland Security has been stalled for more than a month, with Democrats demanding reforms to ICE and Border Patrol policing in the wake of the killings of Alex Preddy and Renee Good. After meeting with Senate Republicans, President Donald Trump expressed openness to passing the DHS budget piecemeal, in spite of resistance from House Republicans. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries is slamming Trump for voting by mail in a Florida special election, even as the president tries to force Congress to pass the SAVE Act, which would ban mail-in ballots.
For years, Donald Trump has been railing against voting by mail, only to turn around and vote by mail. That's king-like behavior. Rules for me, but not for thee. That's his position.
The Democrat flipped that House seat. As votes are starting to come in, Virginia Democrats are worrying about a redistricting referendum. Early totals in some rural conservative areas are running as much as three times higher than Democratic strongholds in Northern Virginia. A new Reuters poll finds Trump's approval ratings fall into 36% as gas costs rise due to the Iran war. A separate survey has found nearly a third of Americans align or sympathize with Christian nationalism. For the last 3 years, the poll has found a steady proportion supporting the idea that America was founded by and for Christians. Melissa Deckman with the Public Religion Research Institute says it often correlates to anti-democratic beliefs.
At about 8 in 10, Christian nationalist adherents also score high or very high on a right-wing authoritarianism scale. So I think it's important at a time when we have to fight for democratic values in our country.
Meanwhile, more than 3,000 No Kings rallies are scheduled across the country for this weekend. Beth Osborne with Indivisible Las Vegas says there will be 10 in Nevada alone.
If we don't do something and come together, say, absolutely no more, we're not going to do this, then we will continue to fall into autocracy, not democracy.
In Missouri, the state Supreme Court has approved new congressional maps drawn by Republican state lawmakers. The justices ruled the legislature did not violate the state constitution. Constitution when redrawing districts mid-decade, including breaking a Democratic-leaning Kansas City seat in two. The Justice Department is withdrawing a lawsuit against the Oklahoma election officials seeking access to unredacted voter files. The move could signal a deal was reached. After a recount, the Republican leader of North Carolina's state Senate is conceding he lost his primary to a right-wing county sheriff. In spite of an endorsement from Trump, State Senator Phil Berger lost by 23 votes. I'm Simone Perez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service.
You're listening to the KABU Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for News from the Boo, your look at news inside KABU. At 6, it's Underground, produced by KABU's own youth collective. Then at 7, Hard Knock Radio. Tonight's weather, expect clouds and light rain with an overnight low in the mid-30s. Tomorrow's weather, look for sunshine and a high of 56 degrees. Today in history, in a landmark of celebrity activism, John Lennon and Yoko Ono held their first bed-in for peace, blurring the line between protest and performance art. The quote of the day is from singer-songwriter Jackson Browne, who said, quote, "Never forget the three powerful resources you always have available to you, love, prayer, and forgiveness," end quote.
President Donald Trump sworn former Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen as U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security at the White House Tuesday. The president talked about Secretary Mullen serving in the House and Senate, mentioning that Mullen is Native American and has worked on tribal issues. With that story and more, it's Antonia Gonzalez with National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. President Trump swore in Mark Wayne Mullen as U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security at the White House on Tuesday. The president talked about Mullen serving in the House and Senate, mentioning that Mullen's Native American and has worked on tribal issues. Here are some of Trump's remarks from C-SPAN.
Mark Wayne has also been a fantastic advocate for our cherished tribal communities. He's now the first member of the Cherokee Nation ever to serve as a member of the cabinet. I didn't know all these things. I would have picked him faster if I had known. I would have made a quicker decision.
Here's Mullen.
I made this very clear that I don't care what color your state is. I don't care if you're red or you're blue. At the end of the day, my job is to be Secretary of Homeland and to protect everybody the same. And we will do that. I'll fight every single day.
After Mullen's confirmation this week, Cherokee Nation Principal Chief Chuck Hoskin Jr. congratulated him and wished him success in his new role. The predominantly indigenous community of Kaktovik in northern Alaska hosted a regional basketball tournament last month in a new gym that was finally rebuilt years after the old one burned down. The Alaska Desk's Ayolna Nidem reports, for at least one family, the new gym's significance was bigger than basketball.
The Kaktovik High School girls basketball team is playing against Point Lay. It's the 1A North Slope Regional Championship, and the Kaktovik Lady Rams are down by a couple of points. Senior Maya Aishana hears her mom yelling.
That did something to me. That, like, snap. I have 5 minutes left. I can do this.
The Kaktovik Lady Rams did not win the game, but Aishana says the moment was still special. The community's gym and school burned down 6 years ago. The new gym was finally finished in December. The tournament was the first big event the community held there.
Our crowd, just hearing them cheer for us, made me so happy.
Aishana says not having a place to play sports for so long, the students often practiced outside.
It was kind of difficult because polar bears and the wind and the coldness, but like also all our players were like kind of rusty shooting because we had nowhere to shoot.
Several students left the school. Maya Aishana's brother was one student. Maya's mother is Stephanie Aishana.
He missed the gym so much.
She says the family lost a hunter to help during the subsistence season. Stephanie Aishana says the community used the facility for funerals, Thanksgiving feasts, and other gatherings.
It was the heartbeat of our community, and we totally lost that.
Maya Aishana was a part of the group of students who advocated for the construction of the new gym. They wrote letters to municipal leadership and held a silent protest.
We just had to act because students had to have somewhere to play.
Now that they have the new facility, Aishana says she already feels the difference. The weekend tournament also proved that the new facility is more than a place to practice and play. More than 100 people also took refuge there during a major storm over the same weekend. Now that the basketball tournament is over, adults and students regularly go there to play and exercise. And in a few months, Maya Aishana's class will be the first to graduate in the new facility. Her mom says she will make sure that her son will attend his sister's ceremony as well. With reporting from Kaktovik, I am Alena Naidin.
The Indian Nation's Gaming and Governance Program at the William S. Boyd School of Law at UNLV and the Tribal Leadership Council announced Tuesday the establishment of the Tribal Leadership Council Endowment. According to the council, it's the first endowed scholarship established by a Native American nonprofit organization in the law school's history. The scholarship will be awarded to tribal citizens of federally recognized tribes pursuing a JD degree at the school and in the program. The first scholarship will be awarded when the endowment is fully matured. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Iowa moms-to-be can now get insurance coverage for the services of a doula. Doulas are trained, non-medical professionals who provide continuous care to women throughout and after pregnancy. Until now, those services have not been covered by major insurance companies. Mark Moran has more on the story.
Iowa moms-to-be will now be eligible for their health insurance programs to cover doula services. Until now, doulas, trained professionals who help create a safer and more emotionally stable environment during the birthing process, have mostly been an out-of-pocket expense. Research from the National Library of Medicine shows that the presence of a doula during pregnancy and childbirth can reduce the chances of a cesarean section delivery by nearly 53%. Katie Nyberg, owner of the Iowa Baby Lady, says having someone personally invested in a woman's pregnancy helps moms and birthing partners feel less stressed. That can mean a healthier baby, especially in rural parts of the state.
So if they have concerning symptoms, especially if they're in rural Iowa, having them call their doula first and us saying, yeah, actually, you know, this is a great time to call your doctor or head in to be seen right away, helps prevent some of those delays in care.
Nyberg says that while she's slightly concerned that doulas will have to learn to navigate the maze of insurance billing, she's encouraged that more expecting moms will have access to the range of services doulas offer, which will mean safer baby deliveries and more peace and confidence for families in the postpartum period. United Healthcare's Dr. Lisa Saul says beyond emotional support, doulas provide mothers and babies with a more intimate and personal birthing experience that also provides medical advantages.
Having a person that has gotten to know you throughout your pregnancy and can identify when certain things might seem to be a little bit off can often help us to detect when someone is struggling prior to the usual time frame.
Medicaid does not currently cover doula services in Iowa, but the State Department of Health and Human Services is currently addressing the disparities faced by low-income women giving birth through its doula program. I'm Mark Moran for Iowa News Service.
The Iran war's cost has likely surpassed $20 billion already and will likely surpass $25 billion by the end of the week, says a new report from the Center for American Progress, also known as CAP. That $25 billion would be enough to provide Medicaid coverage to around 3.1 million people for a year or fund free school lunches for more than 29 million children for a full school year. Bobby Kogan, CAP's senior director for federal budget policy, said, quote, "Before Congress chooses to provide $200 billion in new funding for the U.S. Department of Defense, it should seriously consider other ways that funding could be used, including improving people's lives," end quote. Not figured into the costs of the war to Americans are the higher prices on gasoline, electricity, and other items. And the official costs will only keep rising, given Trump's recent announcement to send 2,000 paratroopers to the Middle East, joining 4,500 Marines already on the way there, thus increasing the probability of American lives being lost, a difficult cost to estimate. War Department Secretary Pete Hegseth said yesterday, quote, "We're keeping our hand on that throttle as long and as hard as is necessary to ensure the interests of the United States of America are achieved on that battlefield," end quote.
Last night, the Republican-controlled Senate voted to block a resolution that would have forced the withdrawal of U.S. forces from hostilities against Iran. Senator Chris Murphy, the sponsor of that resolution, said, quote, "If our Republican colleagues will not do their duty, if they are going to engage in an effort to hide the consequences of the war, if they are going to refuse to ask questions of our incompetent national security leaders at the White House, who have waged this war without planning for the foreseeable consequences, then we will force a debate and vote on this floor. This war is not going to make more sense the longer it goes," end quote.
An atmospheric scientist at the National Taiwan University says storms with winds above 184 miles an hour deserve their own category. Dr. Anthony Lizowitz has more on the story with Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. As the climate warms and hurricanes get more intense, some scientists say we need a new Category 6 rating for the strongest, most dangerous storms. Hurricane categories are based on wind speed, and any storm with winds of 157 miles per hour or more is a Category 5. But E.E. Lin, an atmospheric scientist at the National Taiwan University, says storms with winds above 184 miles per hour deserve their own category. That includes storms like Typhoon Haiyan, which hit the Philippines in 2013, killing thousands.
It was catastrophic to Philippines.
Lin's research shows that Category 6 storms have become more common in the past decade, and she says they can be much more destructive than Category 5 storms, which are already extremely dangerous.
If you compare a regular Category 5 versus a Category 6 like Haiyan, you can have destructive potential doubling.
Hurricane categories do not take into account rainfall or storm surge, which can also cause damage. But Lin says a new Category 6 would better convey the growing danger of powerful hurricanes as the climate warms. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
KBOO News poet Dan Raphael asks, "What are you doing Saturday?"
No kings, no billionaires, no poverty, no war. Or let's be constructive. Democracy by and for the people, not the corporations. A sharply graduated income tax like some Scandinavian countries. This way the government of the people will have all it needs for the people, like a guaranteed minimum income. More trees, more preserved and restored nature, more respect for all life forms, more renewable energy, less pollution. Better and more varied energy, more free time, more mutual respect, more forgiveness, more responsibility from everyone, including the media, more unbiased information, more consideration of alternatives and imagines. No Trump, no Musk, no Hungary, no Middle East war. You might say that I'm a dreamer. More dreams becoming reality, fewer nightmares created by those running and ruining the world. Not more of everything, just enough of what we need and can use. For Poetic Justice, this is Dan Raphael.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, March 25th, 2026. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-801-1378. Our production team for tonight's newscast includes Dan Raphael, Dave Johnson, and Hannah Francis. The producer is Dave Johnson, and our engineer is Ray Bodwell. Special thanks to Mark Richardson, Mark Moran, Isabel Charlet, Simone Perez, Antonia Gonzalez, and Dr. Anthony Lizowitz. The director of the evening news is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Terrence Burns.
And I'm Uchenna Nwezor. All of our KBOO programs, including the evening news, are supported by our members. If you would like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for news from the Boo. And now it's time for News from the Boo, the weekly segment from people inside of and around KBOO with news from your community radio station. You are listening to News from the Boo, your look at the news inside your community radio station. I'm KBOO News Director Althea Billings, and I am joined today on the show by KBOO board member Alex Privé. Welcome, Alex.
Hello, it's so nice to be here.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. So last month, KBOO held a community meeting at the Clinton Street Theater where listeners, volunteers, members, and programmers shared their feedback and thoughts with the board. Alex, you were in attendance. How
I was.
How was that experience?
It was really fun. I'm new to the board. I